If you will take a Bible in hand and be turning to the 8th chapter of the book of John, that is going to be our beginning place and why you are turning there. And as I mentioned last night, if everybody here will take a Bible in hand and follow the lesson, I will get you out on time. If there are those who do not follow me in the Bible, then we'll extend the lesson until everybody decides to pick up a Bible and study with us. I do want you to know that the things that we study comes from the Word of God. While you're turning to that passage, let me take just a moment. I mentioned Sunday when we started this meeting that I did not believe in reminiscing. I didn't come to tell stories or tell jokes. I came for the purpose of studying with you the Bible. But I would be remiss if I didn't take just a few minutes to express to this congregation my deepest, sincerest, heartfelt appreciation for being a part of this meeting. You have treated me much better than I deserve maybe to be treated. The comments that you made about the lessons are greatly appreciated. I'm preaching because I'm nervous tonight, and you may detect that nervousness because I was sure that Mark Miller was going to lead Ready to Suffer. He'd already assured me of that, and I was concerned about that, that y'all might have to suffer tonight. This congregation, and I mentioned in one of the lessons that I presented that you can walk into a congregation, you don't have to be around those people very long to make a detection of what atmosphere there is in that congregation. And one of the great things about this congregation that I see among all the membership, those of you who I have been associated with throughout the years, even back to Brother Alvin Berry, I have seen a great love and appreciation of one another among this congregation. You're an encouragement to me, and I do appreciate that. On one occasion, a radio preacher, and you'll hear this quite often, this is nothing unusual, his statement was, if you will only believe, you can escape the fires of hell. Now, that was his statement. That's a quotation from him. Several years ago, some of you here, and maybe all of you know Brother Johnny Hutchison, he was preaching in Independence, Virginia. I was at Galax. We had a radio program together. One day out on the Hillsville Highway between Galax and Hillsville, they're on the marquee of a denominational church building, and they always posted various messages and sayings and so forth, even some Bible passages once in a while. But anyway, on this particular occasion, they had on their marquee, they had in black letters, faith plus nothing equals salvation. That was in the black letters. And between faith plus nothing, underneath of that, before equal salvation, they had a huge, I mean a huge red zero. I have a picture of it. If you want to see it, I'll mail you a copy of it. I talked to Brother Johnny one day, and I said, let's go out and talk to the preacher. We did. We knocked on the door. He came to the door. And we said, we're here to discuss the marquee that's in front of your building, faith. Oh, I didn't put that up there. I said, well, somebody did undoubtedly a part of this. Oh, yes, he takes care of that. I said, well, do you believe what the sign? Oh, yes. And he was rather rude. He began to get nervous, and he began to kind of get jittery more so. And finally, when we were pushing him very hard, he said, I've got a sick wife in here. Said, I don't have time to fool with you fellas. Said, why don't y'all go jump on the Jehovah's Witnesses? That was his response to us. And that was just simply to get rid of us. You know, a lot of thought goes into this statement sometimes, and I rest in the assurance. I hear it on the Galax radio station, both AM and FM station. You perhaps hear it on here. That on the radio station here, if you listen to television and hear an evangelist of a denominational stripe, if I may use that terminology, then they will use this expression. If you'll just believe, that's all you have to do. In fact, we have a Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and I put quotations around his name, and he often uses this expression that all you have to do is just believe and you will be saved. In fact, if you are interested in your salvation, if you will send us your name and address, we will send you a salvation packet, and I can rest in the assurance what that contains. Do you ever stop and think, I mean really in-depth think, about how sad it's going to be on the day of judgment? And these are people maybe that's related to you, friends, relatives, neighbors, co-workers. They're as honest, they're as sincere as you are. They profess religion. And yet when they stand before God on the day of judgment, they're going to be lost. John 8 and verse 32, it goes back to verse 31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And so tonight you hold truth in your hand. The word of God is truth. In John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And we have used throughout this week the passage from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that I assume most all of you here are familiar with. Without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and not only that, but that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, in the very first verse, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now notice, the sevenfold platform of unity, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you're calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, now underline it, one faith. One baptism, one God, Father. If you would ever approach a denominational person or a denominational preacher, ask them how many gods. Well, the Bible says there's only one God. How many of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there's only one. How many Holy Spirit? There's only one. How many baptisms? Well, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there are five baptisms in the New Testament, and Paul here says there's one. Which one is it? Now, that's a lesson in itself. But then you come to this idea of one faith, and somebody walks up to another person and says, well, what faith are you of? Well, there's only one faith. And according to the Bible, which is the only safe guide that I have, there is only one faith. Now, let's go back to the fact, and if you're holding Bible again, go back to the book of Proverbs with me. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 21. And the popular cry today is, well, every person is entitled to their own belief. You just believe whatever you want to. And what they say is just believe anything you want to believe. That's all right. And this causes even a person's feelings to serve as their guide. Now notice these scriptures in Proverbs. The wise man Solomon says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And then in chapter 21, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Remember the situation, condition with the nation of Israel? Back over in Judges chapter 17, and I think it's about verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You ever had anybody to tell you, try to talk to them about the Bible, about God's plan of salvation, the one gospel, the power of God unto salvation? I've actually had people to tell me, I know what the Bible says, I know what I believe, I know what my preacher tells me. Do not try to force your beliefs on me. Well, I'm not trying to force anything on anybody but what the Bible says. Is it possible for a person to be a believer and still be lost? Well, I want to look at some Bible examples. Go with me back to John chapter 1 and verse 11 for a starting point. And while you're turning back there, though Christ was Son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that believe on him. Oh, is that the way it reads? just seeing if I had your attention. Unto all them that do what? Obey him. This harmonizes with Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now you can believe like some of the Jews did. John 1 and verse 11, he came to his own and his own received him not. Jesus did not fit into their preconceived ideas and their pattern what they were looking for. Now, I don't have time and won't take the time tonight. I don't want to prolong this lesson. But if you even go over to the first chapter of the book of Acts, these men who had been with Jesus during his earthly ministry, they still had a misconception of the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. Well, the Jews had the idea Jesus is coming to establish an earthly kingdom. He's going to overthrow the Roman Empire. The Jews are going to be predominant, and God's going to bring salvation through Judaism. Matthew 11, verse 19. You want to see something they believed about Jesus? They call him a glutton and a wine bibber. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. You go over to Mark chapter 3 and verse 22, and the scribes which came down came from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth out devils. Oh yes, they believed in Jesus. But you want to see what they believed about him? Look at John 19 and verse 6. Oh yeah, they believed. They believed Jesus Christ. They believed he ought to die. Crucify him! Crucify him! John 19 verse 18, and there they crucified him. Acts 2 verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hand. Who does Peter accuse here on the day of Pentecost of slaying Jesus? The Jews and the Gentiles. You Jews, city of Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2. By wicked hands, who actually did the deed? The Gentiles, the Romans put him to death. And by wicked hands you have slain and crucified, whom God hath raised up. God raised him from the dead. Oh yeah, the Jews believed on him. Now go with me to John chapter 12 and verse 42. And there are those who believe, and they will not acknowledge their faith in Christ. Not even among some in the denominational world. Yes, they believe in him. We even have members of the church who believe in Christ, and they will not acknowledge. Somebody says, are you a member of a church? Oh yes, I'm. What are you a member of? Well, if I told you, you wouldn't recognize. John 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the, underline this, chief rulers. Who are those? The atheists? The no. That's the religious people. The chief rulers. Also, many believed on him. But because of another religious group, Pharisees, they did not confess him lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Why? Because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Is it necessary for us to acknowledge our faith in Christ? You know, when we ask people to respond to the gospel invitation, we give I'm one of those old-timey five-steppers. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And we put a great deal of emphasis upon this confession of faith. And rightfully so. It's scriptural. It's biblical. But how often do we confess him by the way that we live? Matthew 10 and verse 32. You confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father which is in heaven. Verse 33. You deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father in heaven. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And don't. This is not the heart. This is the heart. With the heart, with the mind, man believeth. Well, the mouth confession is made unto in the direction of salvation. That's one of the errors of the religious world, a belief that will not confess. Their faith can give a person the assurance they will be lost. Now, let's go to John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. There are people in the religious world, and you perhaps have even studied and talked to people and dealt with people. Open Bible, Jewel Miller film strips, some of these correspondence courses and home Bible studies that we have available to us. And they'll say, yes, I know what I need to do. I believe in Christ. I try to live a good moral life. In fact, some of these people, you wouldn't recognize them from the most moral person you can find in the world. They believe in Christ. John 3, verses 3 through 5, here I have a man. His name is Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Who is he? Atheist? No, he's a religious man. Ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. Remember the conversation? Except a man be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. I don't want to prolong the lesson. I want to do something here right quick. If you're holding a Bible, just turn back over to John chapter 2 for just a moment. John chapter 2. Am I correct on that? When Jesus, the marriage feast in Cana of Galilee, is that John chapter 2? What did Jesus there turn into wine? What? Have you ever heard anybody anywhere ever argue? I've never heard anybody argue. What did Jesus turn into? He turned water, H2O. Turn it up and drink it every day. I've never heard anybody say, well, water there don't mean water. You ever make a sandwich, take two pieces of bread and put a piece of meat or something in between it? All right, let's make a sandwich. There's the top piece of bread. Here's the bottom piece of bread. Look at John 3 and verse 23. John 3, verse 23. John was baptizing in Edom near to Salem because there was much. What? Water there. You ever heard anybody argue that what John was baptizing in was not water? But yet when they come to the middle of the sandwich, John 3 verse 3 through 5, you must be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. And how many times have you heard a denominational preacher argue, water there don't mean water? Well, if I don't know what it means, how do I know what it does mean? You know, one of our old time preachers said, oh, well, I know what water there means. Well, what does it mean? It's buttermilk. Well, why not? If we don't know what it means. Water's water. And a man must be born of water and of the Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And you can go out here in your community tonight and knock on the door of a denominational preacher and ask him, and he'll do everything in his power and his possibility to deny the necessity of baptism. Oh yes, he's a believer. He believes in Christ. But he don't believe baptism saves. To be condemned, and the King James Version says damned, he that believes not shall be condemned, damned is to be lost. Now you can believe baptism is not essential. But there's only two passages that I know. As I hold this word, there are only two passages in all of the Bible that tell me how to get into Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 3 through 5. Know you not that so many of us as there were baptized into Jesus Christ? Galatians 3, 26, 27. We're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. And again, you go out here, where's salvation? Denominational preacher of most any stripe. Where's salvation? In Christ. How do I get into Christ? Pray into Him, believe in Him. But they can't tell you what the Bible says, how you get into Christ. Believers, yes. Are they saved? No. James 2, verse 19. Now, here's an interesting one to me. And I would ask anybody, anywhere, anytime. Are you with me? James 2, verse 19. James says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. What happens? The devils believe and tremble. Now, I don't know. I'm not a Greek scholar. I pursued this word tremble, and my understanding means literally to shudder and to shake, to be scared, frightened. Satan knows God's power. Look over Job chapter 1 and 2 in the Old Testament. Satan knew God's power. Satan knows about God's power. Satan still works even though he knows what his eternal destination is going to be. You can be like Satan and the devils. You can literally shake and tremble and quake and have a fear. Scared to death, as we use the expression. Still die and be lost because the devils believe and tremble. And if you do not submit to the authority of God, then you're lost. Now, we dealt one lesson that I studied together with you. Now, I've tried to center these lessons, as I said earlier, upon characteristics and things that, as far as we're concerned, pertain to God. There are those who believe, and let me phrase this in just a moment, a loving, kind, generous, benevolent God. You mean to tell me he's going to send people to hell? No, he's not going to send nobody there. God doesn't send people to hell. The way you live is what sends you. Oh, old John Doe lives down the block here from me. You won't find a better moral man. There's not a better moral person in this community. You mean to tell me John's lost? Yes. Let's look at a man by the name of Cornelius, 10th chapter of the book of Acts, the opening verses. Now, I'm not going to read this. The clock back there runs about twice as fast as I do. But if you look at the opening verses of the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, a giving man, a praying man, a believing man, you won't find, I don't know, a better moral man anywhere than Cornelius. He's a good moral man. You mean Cornelius is lost? What do you have to do? Send to Peter, who will tell thee words whereby thou and thy house might be saved. Good moral man. Can't find a better moral man than Cornelius. What about that man we talked about a while ago? Nicodemus, who was he? Alcoholic, dope, no. Ruler of the Jews. And he's told that you must be born again. I thought Nicodemus was saved. He's a religious man. No. He got to obey the gospel too if he's going to be saved. Cornelius had to obey the gospel. Good moral man. And it disturbs me. Now, I know some people do it in ignorance. Young converts sometimes. And I don't reprimand them. I don't get ugly with them. Sometimes I've had young converts, people who have just been baptized into Christ. And, you know, you talk about good moral people and the fact that they're lost. You mean to tell me, as I said, old John or old Joe down the street, that good moral man's lost? Yes, if he never obeyed the gospel. I have relatives, as I said, religious people who never obeyed the gospel. I know where they are tonight. So thinking you're good enough without Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to give you an eternal destination that's undesirable. Matthew 15, verse number 14. And this is one of the disturbing things in our world. And I want to go back to what I said earlier. Do you ever think seriously about these people that surround you? Religious denomination on every block, every corner. Religious people, good moral people, honest people, sincere people. And you talk to these people. They're as honest as you are. They're as sincere as you are. And you mean to tell me? Yes. Until you obey the gospel. What does the Bible say? I can only be true to the word of God. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 15 verse 14? When you try to convert a person, you try to convince them. I don't know what the point is. You shake the dust off your feet. I've never decided that yet. But Jesus said, let them alone. If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Now, this is not true. Listen to me so you won't misunderstand me. I went to the doctor today, and he ran me through every test in the book, MRIs and X-rays, and my body is full of cancer. They discover that. I called the doctor later this evening. Well, Doc, how did the test turn out? Oh, you're in perfect health. Was that doctor honest with me? I'm dying with cancer. And this doctor, oh, you're in perfect, there's not anything wrong with you. He knows. When we know what the truth is, and we do not tell people, do we not have a responsibility? If you're holding a Bible, turn with me to the 2 Thessalonian letter, and the lesson's yours in just a few minutes. Do you know that God will allow, now I'm going by what the Bible teaches, God will allow all non-lovers of the truth, this is Bible-based, to believe a lie. Now look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Notice the next verse. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I don't believe, as far as the religious world, there's anything that ought to disturb us any more than to think about these religious people I hear. And it disturbs me. I'm honest. I'm not saying this braggingly. But it disturbs me to think about these good, honest, moral, religious people. And they will stand and argue the Bible with you with their dying breath. And what happens when they wake up on the other side of death? Lost for all eternity. Does that bother you? It does me. Because like I said a moment ago, I have relatives, very close relatives. I know where they are tonight. And I can't change what the Bible says. I've had people say, well, you have no right to judge. Well, I know what the Bible says. I'm not judging them. You know, the Lord, people say, the Lord didn't allow us to be judges. No, but he allowed us to be fruit inspectors, didn't he? Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And so we can be fruit inspectors. If you're here tonight, have never obeyed the gospel, if you believe in Christ, that's your first step. But that's not the only step. You know, I'd love to stand up here tonight and say, well, all you got to do is just believe in Christ and he'll save you. But I can't tell you that. I have to tell you that if you don't believe in Christ, you'll die in your sins. And where I go, you cannot come. John 8:24-25. Jesus, Luke 13:3-5, I tell you no, unless you repent, you'll perish. Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:10, we used earlier in the lesson, confess our faith in Christ before those here assemble. The water's ready, it's warm, everything's provided, clothing. Take a few minutes to change. I'm sure Tim will baptize you into Christ. Leave this building tonight with the assurance heaven someday is going to be yours on the basis of your faithfulness. Will you respond while we stand and while we sing?